This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
This is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated over the Biz Talk Radio Network, over 350 affiliated stations around the country, and we are in the lobby of the Omaha Hilton for the Berkshire Hathaway Woodstock of Capitalism, as they call it, 40,000 expected, and we're happy to be joined now by Tom Russo. He is partner in Gardner, Russo & Gardner, and general partner to the Semper Vic Partnerships, which is managing about $9 billion in investments. He's high-performing job. He's contrarian. He's a longtime Berkshire holder. And looking up at your performance since inception, about 1,900% versus the S&P at 847, outperformed it pretty dramatically. Since 84, I like the 15.2% compound growth rate because that's about doubling every 5 years, which is sort of a magic number for me.
Yeah.
You're contrarian. You're a long-term guy. Talk about this capacity to reinvest and this capacity to suffer, which I found fascinating, particularly the second one.
Yes.
As big part of your philosophy.
Yes. I met Warren when I was at Stanford Business School in 1982, and he mentioned at that time that the number one gift that the government gives investors is the non-taxation of unrealized gains. And so thoughtful investors who want to take advantage of that. Old-fashioned value investing, the 50-cent dollar bill, was taxable. And it depended on how quickly you converted the discount, you closed the discount in terms of your return. That's a world where the margin of safety came from price alone. It was taxable and it didn't grow. In the world that Warren spoke about when I met him as early as 1982, the margin of safety had shifted to the business's competitive advantage and the business's competitive moats. And so in order to take advantage of Berkshire's suggestion that we buy things that we can hold, we had to change what we looked for. So we had to look for business that had the capacity to reinvest because the entry price discount to intrinsic value is known, but where the intrinsic value can get to is what's unknown. And so you want to find businesses that can grow. They have the capacity to reinvest the cash that's in the business and the cash flow from the business into making the intrinsic value of that business on a per share basis higher over time. As that elevates over time, it'll draw your share price along with it. Even if the discount remains, you definitely need to get the intrinsic value growing. Warren at the time said, you know, there are only going to be 10 good ideas in your lifetime, so choose carefully. And he said, you probably should invest in businesses that you care about. For me, those happen to be consumer brands. And the consumer brands are interesting because there's pricing elastic demand. If you like Jack Daniels and somebody offers you a Jim Beam, you're going to say, no, I drink Jack Daniels. That brand loyalty is worth a fortune. And in fact, we bought shares of Brown-Forman in 1987 for $3 a share. Today, they're $103.
Wow.
And it's only because they've been able to keep that premium pricing that accompanies the kind of brand passion.
These are franchises,
that's
basically.
Right. It's a franchise. And it's that franchise that we continue to seek in our investments. Now, the capacity to reinvest has one feature, and that is to recognize that most of the Western world is developed. And so if you're going to invest and you find brands that have relevance in the developing emerging markets, you're much better off because they'll allow you to take your mature market free cash flow and direct it into the growth in parts of the world that have growing populations, GDPs, and consumer disposable income, from which they can make the purchases of brands that will fulfill the bargain that they seek from the brand, which is some form of self-actualization or satisfaction.
Building up a middle class. Yeah.
That's exactly right, a consumer class, and it's global. Now, interestingly, the businesses have the best global reach, from my view, the best capacity to reinvest are the non-U.S. consumer companies, because they have left as a result of their imperial ways centuries ago, the brands all over the world that are still aspirational, unaffordable, and inaccessible historically. They remain aspirational because they've been coveted even when they couldn't afford it. And now as markets prosper, more can come in. The one thing that our companies must get right is they must have the capacity to reinvest the right amount of money up front and not be shy about it and not be cautious because of Wall Street expectations. Wall Street would prefer to have you have steady and modest earnings per share growth that's predictable. And Wall Street activists would like you to sell divisions that are loss-making. If you start like Brown-Forman did in 1987 and try to grow that international Jack Daniels business from 500,000 where it started to 11 million cases where it is today,
wow,
you cannot do that and have a smooth and steady earnings per share growth because the demands of reinvestment are too high. That's where the management who's going to have those investment programs in front of them needs the capacity to personally suffer.
And you're fighting Wall Street at the same time.
You're fighting Wall Street, and that's where you come up with this notion of the capacity to suffer, because they have to be able to allow their income statement, their reported profits, which is the holy grail for Wall Street, but doesn't matter a bit to a private fund, a company owner. You probably know a lot of wealthy business folks up in Greenwich. And I suspect that if you ask them how much time they spend trying to maximize reported profits, they'd probably say quite a small amount, because that just simply means that they're generating more taxable income. They want to build wealth. And in the public world, it's very hard because most rewards are based on reported income. So how do you get that protection? How do you get that capacity for management to suffer through a disappointing Wall Street without fear of losing their jobs? I have found, and Buffett certainly done this, and I followed his lead on this for most of my time, that you can find family-controlled companies that have a dynastic view of what they want to accomplish inside their own company without having to sell it, and you can partner with them, in effect. And they care about their grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren, and along the way, that satisfies the horizon that I have for my investors.
And you end up being a hold forever kind of guy in this world.
Yep. And now, mind you, obviously, you can't hold forever. On one hand, we lose companies to acquisitions, as we did Cadbury when it was bought by Kraft, and as we did when U.S. Tobacco, a Greenwich company.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
U.S. Tobacco was
right near where
acquired
I live, yeah,
by Philip Morris, as has Weetabix when it was acquired by a private equity firm. We lose companies to takeovers. And we rebalance the portfolio when certain businesses go up sharply and they get to be a too heavy percentage weight at a lesser undervaluation. But that's really about the portfolio. The interesting thing about whether businesses have the capacity to reinvest, if they've got the brands in my world and if the markets appreciate that brand, what they then need is they need to have multicultural, multilingual management. Because American companies do a poor job going abroad because we're rather ethnocentric. And we have a very highly developed home market, which keeps people prosperous. But it's the developing market where you'll establish the benefits for the future. And that's
what are some of the companies that are maybe family-controlled that are international that you were on?
Heineken?
Heineken
is 50.2% controlled by the Heineken family still. We have about 3% of that company. Richemont, which is owned by the Rupert family from South Africa. They own Cartier Dunhill. Pernod Ricard, still controlled by the Ricard family based in Paris. The interesting thing about family control is I value it highly as a way of aligning my interests and reducing agency costs. But it turns out that most investors are worried about family control because the examples are frequent of companies that have family control where
that
the
it falls apart of the succession.
Or they have the idiot nephew. And the idiot nephew is less burdensome than the corrupt founder who thinks of the public company as his piggy jar. But that leads people to overly discount the value of family-controlled companies.
If you get
the right
family, I guess, to get in.
It allows me to buy it at a discount.
Do you have to have a psyche that's contrarian by nature, that's long-term by nature?
I'd say I've been given the free pass on this one by just hanging out at Berkshire. You come out here, and Warren will say that his great great fortune is his willingness to do anything and the capacity to do nothing. And, you know,
it's a great freedom. Yeah.
There were 4 years since 2010 when I didn't buy a single share of a new position.
Is that tough?
No, it's not a bit tough. The portfolio was making all the acquisitions for me. So during that time, the businesses that we owned merged with other businesses. They had all sorts of activity.
And you can play some golf, maybe? Or?
Well, I rarely do, but I still chase them all over the world to try to make sure that the message that comes to us from the families or the management is the same message that's being adhered to in Vietnam, let's say. I'm going to Vietnam at the end of this month with Heineken, and I'll hopefully see some of Unilever's presence there, maybe some Nestle. And what I really look for is, you know, are they walking the walk that the management and owners tell me?
Do you get close to the families?
I ideally am because I've been around for so long. I've owned Heineken since 1987, Brown-Forman since 1987. And we give them the ability to understand that Wall Street is not only just sell-side analysts, but they're also people prepared to partner for the long term. And then encourage long-term thinking.
It's almost like a second-generation Buffett person we're talking to right now. And I'm fascinated by that capacity to suffer issue because we've become pretty soft in America.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Tom Russo. Business Talk with Jim Campbell. We'll be right back.
The nature of capitalism is if you've got a good business, they're always trying to figure out how to take it away from you and improve on it. And the effect, I would say, just of Amazon, but others that are playing the same game. The effect on industry, a full effect, is far from having been seen. I mean, it is a big force, and it already has disrupted plenty of people, and it will disrupt more.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5471. That's 800-600-5471. 800-600-5471.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
BizTalkRadio.com. And we're back with Tom Russo, partner in Gardner Russo and Gardner, and general partner to the Semper Vic Partnerships. Let me ask you a question. I think Berkshire is about 10% of your portfolio,
yes,
last time I looked, and I don't know when you bought it. You can tell us. Based purely on its size, its secular growth rate is declining.
Yes.
Is it value destructive of your performance?
No, absolutely not. I think it's very difficult to find places to reinvest capital that you can trust will be reinvested in turn again for you.
Yeah.
It's that compound engine. And there's no other business in the world that has less agency costs than does Berkshire.
Yeah.
As our agent, he charges us $100,000 and maybe the use of an airplane.
Yeah.
But there are no cross purposes, and I know of no other business where I can rest assured the capital is invested for the single-minded purpose of increasing the intrinsic value on a per-share basis over time. And we probably would be delighted if we could compound the entire portfolio at the rate that Berkshire compounds going forward. It has a decent discount to intrinsic value, and I think that there's a perfect readiness to deploy capital to share repurchase when it triggers the price target. And I think even conceivably down the road, we could see a dividend.
Let me ask you this question. For 50 years, whatever he said, I'm not going near technology stocks. He's gone into IBM in a big way. He's continued to invest into IBM. Do you have a rationale for why he did that? You think it's a good, and you think it's going to be a winning decision?
Well, you know, one of the things about it is that it's such an obvious investment. You know, everyone says, "Oh, yes, I understand. It's IBM. You know, it's, of course, it's 9x earnings." And but what's going to happen there? And, you know, when people see investments like that, and then the market recognizes the intrinsic value left within it, at some point, people scratch and say, "I really missed that one." And I'm not sure that will happen in this case because it is technology.
It's a little shaky, I think.
But they have migrated to corporate services and the cloud, and so there's a chance. There's a chance that and certainly the valuation is reasonable. I think this is a time, nonetheless, when the notion that you can just secure acceptance for your business decision based on the brand IBM is less robust than it would have been 20 years ago.
Let me ask you about a non-U.S. sort of hedge fund, 3G Holdings.
Yes.
Are you big believers in their approach?
You know, it's a very interesting piece of the Berkshire portfolio today because Warren spent a lot of time talking in this year's annual report, very interestingly, in productivity. And he makes the point is our businesses within Berkshire Hathaway are always productive. They're run by their founders. They're inherently productive. And America's better because we've been productive for all these years. And then he said, and by the way, not all companies are productively managed, and those that aren't should be. And actually, that's the business of 3G.
I want to pivot now to China. We've got presidential candidate Trump saying, we should slap a big tariff on them and maybe
you know, currency wars, et cetera. Yeah. But if you look at them trying to transition their economy to a consumer-based economy,
yes,
from export-led,
yes,
and nobody provides better consumer services than us,
yes,
is there maybe a long-term match there?
Well, I mean, I would have 70% of my portfolio oriented towards that migration upwards towards consumption of brands that they aspire to.
Are we going
to
blow that?
Which we have businesses whose mature market cash flows allow them to invest. I mean, Nestle's been in China since 1989. They have a 5 billion Swiss franc a year business there, almost $5 billion a year business. And they've been willing to bear enormous losses over the years to develop that market. So they're in an extremely trusted brand position. And other businesses that we have are making similar investments.
Are you concerned that the sort of rising nationalism in the U.S. will be counterproductive to that we may, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot?
Actually, the one thing in the world of China that intrigues me isn't that we end up overly nationalistic, but that they end up returning to their own core values.
That's a big risk
and
of that,
stop thinking about Western trademarks as statures of aspiration, but instead substitute their own heritage. They tend at the moment as consumers to treasure our icons and trademarks. But there's no guarantee that has to continue. And when that stops, we'll have a different portfolio.
As I was interested in, I think your most recent letter that your folks sent to me, you talked about, you were very critical of the political campaigns,
yes,
right now and the media's role,
yes,
in that. And I think that's a great point. Give us your thoughts.
Well, you and I have been speaking for now almost 15 minutes. I haven't interrupted you once. You haven't interrupted me once.
I haven't insulted you.
No, you haven't commented about the size of my fingers or any number of things. But the point is, this is a discussion. And we haven't seen one in the political campaign process. And that's deplorable, because you can't make decisions based on the failure to have conversations. And so I'm very disappointed. I hope at the end of the process some magical wand will come along and right everything, but it's becoming ever less likely.
It doesn't look like it.
And America will be less for it.
If I take your sort of paradigm on capacity to suffer, you know, we're in a mode where we need entitlement reform,
yeah,
or control of our debt, or
yeah,
pay down, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And do you see that?
No.
This country has that?
No. In all cases, I mean, what we're talking about, this is why the business lesson is so powerful. A friend of mine runs a grade school in Chicago named Ariel Institute. John Rogers is his name. And he wants desperately to introduce the concept of investing to children from very troubled, poor backgrounds, because it's all about life. I mean, this notion of defer today for more,
yes,
tomorrow, it's about everything. And in an entitlement culture where tomorrow is going to be taken care of and you don't have the discipline or the incentive to defer today for a better tomorrow, that's a desperate scenario. We're looking as investors always for ways in which our businesses can sacrifice today's jam for buckets of tomorrow's jam. That's all we do. And it's a way of thinking, and it's an extremely valuable way of orienting society. And with the looming pension bubbles that we won't be able to service, you will see that promises easily made today for a robust future will end up having extraordinarily harsh consequences on our country. In part, that helps explain why 65 or 70% of my investors' funds are denominated in non-U.S. companies.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big belief in the relative growth rates. Now, we're not the worst culprit in selling today for tomorrow burdens, taking today's pleasure for tomorrow's burdens. We're not the worst at that, but we're worse than most people think we are, and that will come to bear.
It's unfortunate there aren't more people that have a long time horizon
yes,
like you do. Are folks able to invest with you? How do you in terms of their minimums or whatever?
Tell us how you work.
Know,
we have a separately managed account business of investments for private individuals. We manage money for wealthy families,
okay,
who care about taxes and about compound. To the extent that our stock and trade is to look for businesses whose capacity to reinvest and management's ability to suffer through that process puts them in a better position 5 or 10 years out than their competitors. And to the extent that we can buy those through family-controlled businesses at a slight discount because the world overfears family control, and to the extent that we can buy them through Western European companies, which are deemed to be ex-growth by the world, we can pay a little less for those. We offer to the individual investor a rather interesting tax-efficient way to hopefully compound capital over a very long period of time without a lot of trading and taxation and brokerage commission and all the things that accompany the more traditional form of business.
Well, you certainly demonstrated that 15% compound growth rate since 1984 is not bad. Dartmouth man as well. We've had a great time with Tom. Thank you for your time, and thank you for all that you've done to basically have the guts to be your own kind of guy.
Thank you.
In the investment world. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today.
800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated on the Business Talk Radio Network, over 350 stations around the country. And again, from the lobby of the Hilton Omaha, we are with, now we're very honored to be with Tom Gaynor. He's the co-chief executive officer of Markel Corporation, often viewed as a baby Berkshire or a next generation Buffett, whatever. I've asked you this before, Tom, but I'm going to ask it again and then with a twist to it, which is when you're compared to basically the Babe Ruth of the investment world, Warren Buffett and Berkshire. What kind of a burden is it? Now, you've said you've been able to handle it and you don't mind it, but let me ask it in the context. Do you have some twists that you think are Tom Gaynor only that maybe you don't get as much credit for if you're lumped in as the next Buffett? How do you think about that, both the burden and Tom Gaynor?
Well, sure. Well, A, it's a very flattering comparison. So how can you not be anything but flattered when somebody says something like that? Now, B, the most important thing is you have to be yourself and you have to figure out your own ways of doing things. But Buffett has been a tremendous teacher and exemplar of how to do things. He's laid out the playbook publicly of the way he thinks about things, the way he thinks about his business, the way he thinks about investments for years and years and years. And he's been the most successful guy in the world at doing it. So why wouldn't you study him and try to be as much like him as possible?
Yeah, but
if you were a baseball player, you might want to hit home runs like Babe Ruth. I think I could be accused more of eating hot dogs like Babe Ruth than hitting home runs. But he's clearly the best at what he's done, so you try to be as much like him as one can.
And I might say you've actually beaten him for a while, obviously on a smaller base, 21% compounded since 1986. You know, that's pretty impressive. How long have you been coming to these meetings? You've owned Berkshire. Is what kind of a chunk of your portfolio?
Yeah, Berkshire is slightly over 10% of our portfolio. It's our largest single holding, and it was the first stock we ever purchased for the Markel portfolio when I joined the company in 1990. And I started coming in 1991, the first annual meeting they had. So this is year number 26 in a row. Haven't missed one since that first time.
I asked this of Tom Russo because his portfolio is about 10% Berkshire as well. Berkshire, obviously, on that base is growing less than both his fund and Markel's been growing. Is it value destructive?
No, I wouldn't call it that at all. Now, clearly, as Buffett laid out, and I'll try to be brief, but back in 91, when I first came here, Buffett talked about, at that point, he felt they were so large and they'd done well that there was no way they could possibly do that well going forward. And I thought, oh, no, I just bought the stock. I just showed up. And here it is 26 years later. Berkshire's had a tremendous, spectacular run since that time. He declaims the ability to keep going every single year in a modest and humble way. But this is a company that creates immense value year in and year out, and I think it'll continue to do so.
And it's a forever holding?
Well, I'm not a forever person.
Yeah.
I'm 54 years old, and as a comedian said, you know, once you're in your 50s, you sort of have to admit that life is probably at least a third over. So
I just turned 60, Tom, so you're getting close to home here. Tell us what briefly is the Markel story and how you look at creating value. I know you have it in buckets.
Sure. Well, Markel in and of itself is a specialty insurance-based company. That's what we did, and largely exclusively that, until the year 2005. We have over 100 different product lines of sort of nooks and crannies in the insurance business, where we're doing things like children's summer camps in remote areas, or oil rigs out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico or the North Sea, or classic cars, old boats, art collections, all sorts of different sort of things. We've been profitable in that business, and similar to the Berkshire model, basically we've taken the profits that we generate in the insurance business and invest them longer term in a portfolio of equity securities, publicly traded, and since 2005 with Markel Ventures, a set of controlled businesses that we own controlling interest in.
Do you are you relying on float as well? As a, it's a big part of the strategy?
Absolutely, and any insurance company does. That's the nature of the business. Insurance is something that the client pays for it up front and collects later on. So
you guys have been managed to have positive float as well.
Well, yes,
you're getting paid to use the money.
Right. That's the cost of float that you're speaking of.
Yes.
So yes, any and every insurance company has float. The interesting question is how much does it cost?
And most of them, it's negative. And they just hope the investment, exceeds the negativity.
Right.
Markel style. I looked at your annual report. That's how you refer to your culture. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it was the way that prior to Markel going public in 1986, our chairman, Alan Kirshner, Steve Markel, who's a vice chairman these days, Tony Markel, who's a vice chairman, but the three of them really ran the company as a triumvirate for a long time, for a couple of decades. And prior to going public, they wanted to create a document and create a mission statement that they would have confidence would live after them. Mm-hmm. So for Richie Witt and myself and Mike Crowley, who are sort of the triumvirate running the show these days, we have the Markel style to fall back on, as do the 10,000 people of Markel, to act as a guidepost to see the ways in which we should operate and the values that we should hold the highest in the company. And that's what the Markel style is all about.
All right. You're about 10% the size of Berkshire. Are you guys, in your mind, at an inflection point where you're going to begin to, for instance, Markel Ventures, I saw, has reached the $1 billion level, where controlled ownership of companies is going to become closer to the Berkshire model. The mix of equities is going to become closer to the Berkshire model. Is that the runway that you're on?
Well, that would be the path, and it's not a matter of conscious plan or specific targets. It's a matter of going to work every day and looking at the opportunities that are out there and trying to pick the best ones and do what's logical. Now, over time, what that has meant is that we've owned more stocks than we used to, more equities. Over time, that's meant that we've owned more in the way of controlled businesses through Markel Ventures than we had before. I would think and expect and hope that going forward, that will continue to be a bigger and bigger number, but it's not the result.
Drive your returns up.
Well, that's the goal, and that's the plan. That's the way it has worked out so far. But it's not. There are not specific goals that we have that we're trying to meet. It's more a matter of being opportunistic and reacting to opportunities we see out there in the marketplace.
What's the benchmark that you're measuring yourself by, or your goals, or growth and intrinsic value per share,
right,
whatever? What is it?
Yeah, the benchmark really is doing the best you can and giving it your all and not holding yourself to specific numerical numbers too often, because I think oftentimes people will end up behaving unnaturally if they have an unnatural goal. So there's nothing magic about saying 12% or 15% or 9% or 18%. In different environments with different set of opportunities, sometimes a 9% number is just going to be absolutely fantastic when you look at a year. Sometimes a 14% is not going to look so great. So it depends on the environment you're in. But if you did the best you could, then you should be happy and put your head on your pillow at night saying job well done. And that's really what we try to do.
You know, it's funny. You just reminded me of Bill Parcells used to say that you know, there was a year where 5-11, for instance, in a turnaround, might have been a better coaching job than a 10-6,
right,
which might have been 12.
I would agree with that spectacularly. And one of my heroes is John Wooden, and John Wooden on retiring,
the pyramid,
among other things. But he was asked about the 10 national championships and the winning streak and things like that, and he responded to the reporter, said, "You know, the truth is, I never really thought about it."
What's your circle of competence that you feel comfortable with? I use a sugar, money, dirt kind of thing.
I've joked about that over the years. So if you look at most of what we invest in, it either something from sugar, because sugar you can turn into chocolate or whiskey or food that tastes good, and that's an enduring good thing to have. So we look a lot at that. Money are financial institutions, referred to as the world's second oldest business, financial intermediation of some form or fashion, whether that's insurance, banking, brokerage, things like that. Dirt, I joke about that, like real estate or aggregates or things that would have pretty specific cash flows associated with those businesses that you don't have to guess a lot about or make wild assumptions in the future. You can have a pretty tight range of precision.
Are you still big on Carbacks?
Yes, I am. I think it's a fine business and it's a well-run business.
And we have two in our family. All right, last question, Tom, and once again, thanks for your time. What would you like to see Markel look like 20 years from now?
Better.
Bigger? Much bigger?
I think it would be bigger. If we are better, odds are it will be bigger as well. But the most important thing is that it be better, that we're serving more people, taking care of more people, having more products and services that people are happy with. And if we do that, the company will be bigger as a result.
And that's how you define better.
That's correct.
Is that from an insurance perspective, product side?
Both. Both.
Both in that and on what do you intend to buy? More and more and bigger companies from Markel Ventures.
That would be what we would hope to do, yes.
So it's all about that you're on a runway with a lot of room to go.
That's right.
And you're going to get it done, right?
We'll do the best we can.
All right. Always love having Tom Gaynor on. He's one of the superstars coming up. Maybe 10% of Berkshire, but perhaps the best baby Berkshire that's out there right now.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom, for your time.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370. 605-5370.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And we are from the lobby of the Hilton Omaha at the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting. This is Talk with Jim Campbell, syndicated nationally on the Biz Talk Radio Network, over 350 affiliated stations. And we're now happy to welcome back Lawrence Cunningham, professor at George Washington University Law School. He's been on our show about Berkshire Beyond Buffett, The Enduring Value of Values, which was his last book on the unique culture of Berkshire. And he's the editor of the Buffett Essay Symposium with Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, the 20th anniversary annotated edition just out. We have it here on the table. Welcome back, Larry.
It's great to be here, Jim. Thank you.
So how do you get a book endorsed by Buffett for the annual meeting, as yours has been in the past, as well as this one?
It's a great honor and privilege, and some of the things Warren does is a little inscrutable. It's hard to know why he endorses some things and why he doesn't endorse others. But I started working with him about 20 years ago, and he entrusted me with the rearrangement of his letters that we compiled into the book, the Essays of Warren Buffett, and he participated alongside me in doing it. I mean, all mistakes are mine, so in that sense, it's not exactly a partnership, but I think he appreciated the care that I put into it. You know, I delivered the authentic Warren Buffett, you know, in his own words, and I framed it a little bit, but basically it was his, and so I just think he appreciated that kind of fidelity.
You know, you're a professor. Don't you think he views himself as a teacher?
He does. I think he may have even joked once that if he hadn't gone into business and investing, he would have been a professor, and I think he's a very good one. He's very empathetic, right? He understands where the other person is situated.
Tell us what the symposium was all about and what you were trying to accomplish.
It was a wonderful event. Back in October of 1996, we showcased all of his letters. At that time, Warren was already well-known in finance and investing, but he was not the household name that he's become today. It didn't quite have the influence. He was very influential among Wall Street set, but not far broader. And yet we discovered that the ideas that he'd been articulating in those letters for decades were so profound, powerful, and impressive, and they ran counter to most of the conventional wisdom that was being taught. We thought we ought to showcase them, so we did a two-day conference dissecting every one of the big ideas in the book. And it was a spirited debate because we had Charlie and Warren were sitting in the front row, and I had 20 of the best minds in academia scrutinizing their every assertion. So it was sparks flying in the room, and people really engage with each other. I mean, it wasn't talking past each other, as you often see, but really coming to grips with where they differed. So we had a wonderful series of debates. The main result of that was the essays of Warren Buffett. But now, 20 years later, I stumbled upon the original transcript and decided there was so much value of the exchanges that we ought to put them together and present them.
There's a line in the book where they're talking about what will be the negative impact once Warren passes away. And Warren says, I can trust you that it will be a bigger negative impact on me than you guys.
I remember that line so vividly because it was one of those occasions where the panel was finished on an engagement between professors and Charlie or Warren. And then we opened it up to the room for questions. We only had 150 people there, but we didn't necessarily screen them, right? So there's one person raised her hand, and I still don't remember who it was. Yeah. And she said, if Warren Buffett died tonight, what would be the effect of the stock price? And his wife, Susan, is sitting right there next to him. Howard Buffett's across the room. We're all sort of cringing a little bit. People started talking about it. Anyway, you know, one of my colleagues said, well, it'll have a very negative effect. And as you say, Charlie eventually tried to move the subject on. He said, look, not all of us like this topic. And as you say, Warren said, well, look, it won't be as negative for the holders as it will be for me.
Let me ask you about something that Charlie said. Well, first of all, there's humor with Charlie, too. The EBDA, earnings before deducting anything.
I love it. Yeah, he calls that investment banking accounting. There was one debate about how useful GAAP is, generally accepted accounting principles. And, you know, the purists in the room complained that it omits lots of things and compresses other things or leaves too much discretion. And Warren and Charlie acknowledged those limitations, but also stressed that they find the results useful. The information is useful. They often make billion-dollar acquisitions on the basis of GAAP financials. So that's where the debate had stood, and a colleague stood up and made the case that accounting is too fossilized. You know, it's backward-looking, it's historical, cost-oriented, and he made the case that it ought to try to be more forward-looking, look at cash flows, look at current valuations, and he said, you know, and this is when Charlie intervened, he said, that would just be a disaster. If you let that's what investment bankers do when they give you EBITDA or worse, and that's when he said, you know, when they basically just give you earnings before, as you said, Jim, before deducting anything. And he called it investment banking accounting. And, you know, that's the kind of accounting you can't rely on that. I mean, you really do. And I guess the big bugaboo for Warren has always been about, you know, adding back depreciation as if CapEx is paid for by the tooth fairy. So that was a great debate.
Berkshire after Buffett, and, of course, you wrote the book on it as well. Give us your sense of the biggest challenges.
Filling those gigantic shoes.
Yeah. I mean, Warren, small challenge.
And he has said his job will be divided into two. And when he says that, he says there'll be a CEO in charge of overall capital allocation and overseeing the managers, and then there'll be a CIO, Chief Investment Officer, who will make investment selections. And that's fine, but I think the job will actually be divided even further. There's going to be a chairman of the board, which he'd like to be Howard Buffett. Right. There's going to be a different shareholder base. So instead of having Warren as a controlling shareholder, you're going to, at least for a decade, have his estate, and then eventually the public. So his job is going to be divided really into four, and filling those shoes is going to be demanding.
Now, on the enduring values segment, are you bullish on Howard Buffett? And you tell a great story about the cab story, I thought. It was a great story there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that story's in this new symposium book. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Howard, and I think the point everyone interested in this topic should stress is that he would be asked to do a job that Warren has never done and will not be asked to do any job that Warren has done. In other words, right, the main job that Warren has done is making investments. Well, Howard's not going to be asked to do that. There's going to be a CEO and a CIO there to do that. The main job Howard will be asked to do is to make sure that CEO sustains Berkshire's values, which is a job Warren has never had to do because he's been that CEO. And I think Howard is ideally suited for that ladder. Yeah, he knows Berkshire values as well or better than anybody else, and he will call you out on it.
All right, we've enjoyed having you. Last question, what's the highlight of this event for you?
Being here with you, Jim, of course.
You guys are diplomat, eh?
I make a list of 10 reasons in that recent book. And it starts with the Q&A with Warren and Charlie tomorrow. But then there are 10 other things. And it includes events like this, getting together with people I've talked
to during
the
year. That's cool. Is it people wandering around the lobby? You see anybody, you know?
Yeah, the CEOs that we've just talked about, they'll be here and happy to talk to you. The exhibition hall tomorrow at the arena, 50 different Berkshire subsidiaries are selling their products at deep discounts, and the CEOs of many of them are there, and you can just say hello to them. You can talk to Matt Rose about how is he running the railroad, or talk to Greg Abel about what's next in energy.
And you could buy a NetJet to go home.
We might have to do that, given aviation these days.
All right, that's Larry Cunningham, professor at GW Law School, and he's just written, annotated, actually, the Buffett essays from the symposium they did 20 years ago. It's fascinating. Thanks for your time, Larry.
Thank you, Jim.
Always great to see you.
Great to see you.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.